Greetings in the name of Christ to you all, and a happy Mothering Sunday. I'm Reverend Joan Pell, and I bring you a warm welcome today from the Ipswich Methodist Circuit. Today is the fourth Sunday in Lent, and in our Lent sermon series called God's Promises, we're focusing on the many promises that God has made to us, promises that are everlasting. Today we'll hear from the prophet Jeremiah as God promised to write the law on people's hearts. Reverend Ian Gardner is our preacher. He's a supernumerary in this circuit and also minister at Brantham Methodist Church. And his sermon is called Promise of the Heart. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And will you please join me now in our call to worship, which will be on the screen and your parts are in white. In the days of the prophet Jeremiah, God promised to place a new covenant in our hearts. As members of the living body of Christ, we see the signs of God's promise among us. God's covenant continues. God's kingdom comes near. As we journey through Lent, we turn back to God. We come seeking forgiveness, healing, and wholeness. And so as we remember today the folk who have mothered us in a variety of ways, we're going to sing number 120, We Gladly Celebrate and Praise. So let's praise God for the gift of motherhood, for Mary's mother love, and for God's own mother love. We gladly celebrate and praise the gift so great and good.
We gladly celebrate and praise the gift so great and good, through which God's kindness is made known, the gift of motherhood. We sing of Mary's mother love, for she
let us come before God in prayer. God of thundering glory and wondrous love, you lifted up Jesus Christ from the earth to draw all people to your holy name. We praise you for opening the way to eternal salvation. Meet us here today and teach us to recognize the covenant of justice, peace, and love that you have written on our hearts. May our desires become your desires, our work become your work, and our community be the place where you are sought and found. And we come now humbly to confess our sins. We confess that our hearts are hardened. We choose certainty over faith, anxiety over courage, independence over compassion. We turn our eyes from our neighbours in need and from pleas for peace and justice, for we prefer our own comfort. We get caught up in our own needs and desires and forget that you have made us to be your people together. Engrave your word on our hard hearts again, O God. Then break them open for what breaks yours, that your word might sink in and become a part of us, so we might truly live as if you are our God and we are your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hear the good news. God came to us with a new covenant, saying, I will write my law on your hearts. I will forgive your wrongdoing and remember your sins no more. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. Reading our scripture today is Margaret Gooderham, and she is a member at Noddishaw Methodist Church, and she's also one of our circuit local preachers. So listen now to the words that God spoke through the prophet Jeremiah, and also to the beginning of an encounter between Jesus and some Greeks. And we're going to hear Jesus's part of the conversation a little later in the service.
I'm reading Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. The Lord says, the time is coming when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the old covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt. Although I was like a husband to them, they did not keep that covenant. The new covenant that I will make with the people of Israel will be this. I will put my law within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. None of them will have to teach a neighbor to know the Lord, because all will know me from the least to the greatest. I will forgive their sins and I will no longer remember their wrongs. I, the Lord, have spoken. And I'm reading John chapter 12, verses 20 to 22. Some Greeks were among those who had gone to Jerusalem to worship during the festival. They went to Philip, he was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said, Sir, we want to see Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew, and the two of them went and told Jesus.
Hello, everyone. Lovely to be with you. Do you have a favourite TV programme? I must admit, I rather like The Repair Shop. And indeed that fits in with my lifestyle, where I do like repairing things that are broken to give them a second life. But there are some times when I wonder whether it's actually worthwhile. I sometimes wonder whether things have just come to the end of their life, and the best thing to do is just to throw them away. They can't be fixed. They simply have to be replaced. Well, in our Old Testament lesson today, that's exactly the position that Jeremiah found the people of Israel to be in. Their relationship with God, based on all of their previous history, the events of the Red Sea, Mount Sinai, the Exodus event, and the law of Moses, just weren't working any longer. They had tried for several hundred years to make the covenant work, but it just wasn't working out as God had intended. Although God had been faithful to the covenant, the people of Israel had shown time and time again that they couldn't keep to the requirements of the Mosaic covenant. They broke the law of God. And every time they did that, God's heart must have been broken. Many people had been sent by God to warn the people to change their ways. If they didn't repent, they would be disciplined. Sometimes the warnings were heeded, but mostly they were ignored. Jeremiah lived and ministered during the last years of the kingdom of Judah. He was called to preach a message of judgment and doom because of the people's continual willful disobedience. He told the people that Jerusalem, their proud city, would be destroyed. Babylon would conquer the city of God. Nebuchadnezzar would violate the temple that Solomon had built. And this whole destruction would come about because Israel could not or would not keep their part of the bargain. Their behaviour had brought their own destruction. And so they were responsible for what happened. And so Jeremiah, who had spent most of his career predicting the destruction of the city and the temple, now found himself called to offer comfort and hope to those who were hurting because of the Babylonian victory. Jeremiah's message showed that the heart of the matter was that the old covenant that didn't work needed to be replaced by a new one. And that's the message of comfort that we hear in verses 31 to 34, where Jeremiah shares a message from God about a new covenant that God will make with the people. And in this new covenant, God promises to write the law not on tablets of stone, but on the hearts of the people. And maybe that's the real big difference. Rather than those immovable stones, it now becomes so easy for the people to see what's written on their hearts, and so respond. The problem with the old covenant was that the people just didn't want the same thing as what God wanted. They wanted to decide for themselves and do their own thing. And so they disregarded the law of God. Well, disregarded is maybe the best way of describing it. Whereas they willfully disobeyed it would be the worst. And that was at the heart of the conflict between prophets and kings throughout Israel's history. But here we have that message of hope. The new covenant won't be like that. It will be written on the hearts of people, so that they can then decide for themselves what they want to do in their own way. What's written on the heart of the people will be what they want to do. And so they could please God by doing the will of God. And so instead of trying to do their own thing, the people can learn what's written on their hearts and do the right thing. There'll be no contest of wills between God and the people. There's no conflict of interest. It will be part of their very nature. And that is the promise of God. In the new covenant, not only will the people of God want to do God's will, but it's promised that they will know God. Know God in an intimate, personal way. Maybe that's more like the prophets and the intimate knowledge they had of God. And there's a big difference between knowing about God and knowing of God in that personal, intimate way. That we can get first hand for ourselves rather than through a third party. God promises that he will write on our hearts so that we can have that personal knowledge. And we can do that by inviting Jesus to become Lord and Saviour of our lives. And maybe that's a bit like knowing Jesus in the way that we know our mums. On this Mothering Sunday, I guess many of us will have very good feelings of our mums. I certainly do. But I know also from my ministry that there are many people for whom that becomes a really difficult day. But there are many things I wish my mum was still alive so I could thank her personally for what she gave for me. And whether we think of Mothering Sunday and mothers in particular, or whether we think of our mother church, which I believe is probably a better way we should be celebrating Mothering Sunday. Maybe that becomes more important for us then. Indeed, even in recent years, I've heard of a story where a church was helping in a motherly way a young mother who was struggling with life. She had 4 children, all under the age of 6. And if you've had children yourselves, you will know that that can be quite difficult to do. And Mum was struggling. But the church knew that one thing she hadn't got that she would really help her was a playpen. And so they gave her this playpen. And a few weeks later, they asked her how she got on with it, how she had found it. And she said she was absolutely delighted by it. It was wonderful. It helped her so much that for an hour every afternoon she could climb into this playpen and know that she was at peace, knowing that none of the children could get to her. Well, maybe that wasn't what the church intended for the playpen. But Mum had found a way of using it, an unorthodox way of using it. And maybe on this Mothering Sunday, she was finding out more about her children and her children finding out more about her. And in our gospel lesson today from John's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 20 to 36, Jesus predicts his death. But as they gathered together, there were some people from Greece who approached the disciple Philip and said, "Can we meet Jesus? Can we see Jesus?" We don't know why they wanted to see Jesus, but I wish there were far more people today who would ask me that very same question. Can we see Jesus? Because the answer is yes. Yes, you can. Because God has written of his love on our hearts. Those first words spoken by the Greeks to the disciple Philip are so important to all people today. "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." That's the most sincere desire of our hearts. We want to experience him for ourselves. Maybe that's why you're here at worship today. We want that personally. We want to see that for ourselves. A second-hand report is not enough. We haven't come to learn the latest political philosophy or to celebrate some dead theological degree. No, we want to see Jesus so that we may obtain new meaning, new vitality, new possibilities, new life through him. Someone so beautifully said, and I'm sorry I don't know who it was or when they said it, but I'll finish by repeating what they said. "Christianity is not a philosophy Jesus came to teach. It is a life Jesus came to impart. God plants that on our hearts so we too may have that new life through Christ. God bless you all as you read what God has written on your heart and come to know him more. God bless you all. Amen.
Thank you, Ian, for helping us to understand more about what it means to have God's law written upon our hearts. So as we spend time this Lent drawing closer to God, my prayer is that we will all hear and read what God has written on our hearts and then act on it. Has God placed the name of someone on your heart to reach out to this week? Perhaps it's someone you need to forgive, or someone to help, or someone who needs a listening ear. As you think about what you gave up for Lent, what do you discern that God is nudging you to do now? Let's continue in song as we ask God to help us learn the truth that Scripture imparts so that God's law does become inscribed on our hearts. Number 501. Help us, O Lord, to learn.
Help us, O Lord, to learn the truths your word imparts, to study that your laws may be inscribed upon our hearts. Help us, O Lord, to we proclaim that all our thoughts and words and deeds may glorify your name. Help us, O Lord, to teach the beauty of your ways, that all who seek may find the Christ and make a life.
Let us pray. Gentle God, God of covenant, of love, glorify us through your love. Write your compassion in our hearts that we may love as you love. When we are at our best, those that mother us, show us what your love can look like. On this Mothering Sunday, we remember the mothers who have gone before us. For their love, sacrifice, struggle and joy, we thank you. We remember the mothers of Scripture who are a part of our story as we are a part of your story. For their courage, faith, love and fierceness, we thank you. We remember those who have not given birth to us, but are mothers to us, for their gift of themselves that they have given. We thank you. For the women who struggle with fertility, for those women whom society labels as less in their childlessness, for those women who have lost children, for their tears, for their strength, for their wisdom, for their lives. We thank you. Today, we especially lift up the royal family. We pray for healing for Prince Philip after his heart surgery this week. For the Queen and members of the royal household as they consider their response to the events of this week. for the health and well-being of Prince Harry and Meghan, Duchess of Sussex, as they await the birth of their daughter. And we rejoice at the birth of a baby boy to Princess Eugenie and her husband, Jack Brooksbank. We pray for responsible newspaper reporting, reports that say the truth, that do not speculate and do not use racial tropes. We give thanks for those who've returned to school this week, for the pupils and for all their teachers and aides. Keep them safe, we pray. We lift up Brazil, whose hospitals are almost full with COVID patients and the fast spreading strain. Bring help and healing to them, we pray. And we pray for peace around the world, especially this week for Myanmar, as we give thanks for the bravery of the nun who put herself between the police and the protesters. We lift our prayers now to you, saying together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. As we approach the darkness of the events surrounding the cross, we have seven candles here, all surrounded by thorns. And we're extinguishing one candle on each of the six Sundays in Lent, leaving us with the Christ candle that will be put out on Good Friday. Today, we're going to put out the fourth candle. But first, let us listen to Jesus' reply to the Greeks who wanted to see him.
Now we read from verse 23 to 33. Jesus answered them, "The hour has now come for the Son of Man to receive great glory. I am telling you the truth. A grain of wheat remains no more than a single grain unless it is dropped into the ground and dies. If it does die, then it produces many grains. Those who love their own life will lose it. Those who hate their own life in this world will keep it for life eternal. Whoever wants to serve me must follow me, so that my servant will be with me where I am, and my Father will honour anyone who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Shall I say, Father, do not let this hour come upon me? But that is why I came, so that I might go through this hour of suffering. Father, bring glory to your name." Then a voice spoke from heaven, "I have brought glory to it, and I will do so again." The crowd standing there heard the voice, and some of them said it was thunder, while others said an angel spoke to him. But Jesus said to them, "It was not for my sake that this voice spoke, but for yours. Now is the time for this world to be judged. Now the ruler of this world will be overthrown. When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to me." In saying this, he indicated the kind of death he was going to suffer.
During Lent, we remember the events that led Jesus to his crucifixion.
He had come into the world to bring hope and light. But at every turn there were those who sought to extinguish that light.
He came to be a servant and to glorify God.
But they did not want to be humbled.
Jesus said that to bear fruit, we first have to die to our old selves, and that those who wish to gain eternal life must lose their earthly ties.
But this message was not popular.
Jesus invites us all to become something far better than we presently are.
A little of the light which had come into the world was snuffed out by those not willing to be transformed.
O God of glory, on this Lenten journey, guide us towards the darkness of the cross as we trust in your promises, revealing the power of transformation and the hope of resurrection.
Amen. Amen.
I'd like to thank everyone who has participated in our service today. Margaret Goodrum for reading for us, Reverend Ian Gardner for preaching, and our musicians, Adrian Pell, Neil Heppelthwaite, and Elizabeth Story. It would be lovely to know that you are worshipping with us today. So above this video, if you're on our circuit website, is a sign-in form for you to just type your name, your location, and push the red button so that we'll know that you will hear. 2 weeks' time, it is Palm Sunday, and we would like to have a palm procession on Palm Sunday. So I invite you to find in your garden a branch of something. Doesn't have to be a palm. Most of us haven't got palm trees. So some greenery. I'd like cut it and wave it and find someone to take a photograph of you waving your branches and send me those photographs by the 18th of March, and we will be able to put them together into a palm parade for us on Palm Sunday. The picture you see is from a year ago. We have guest preachers for the next three Sundays. So next Sunday, the fifth Sunday in Lent, the Venerable Rhiannon King, Archdeacon of Ipswich, will be preaching on the promise of grace as we remember about God's promise to us to send his Son into our world to save us. On Palm Sunday, Reverend Julian Pursehouse, our district chair, is preaching. The Promised King is his sermon title. And this will also be part of a year of celebrations as Woodbridge celebrate their 150th anniversary. And then on Easter Day, we have Reverend Matt Finch, who is the Methodist Pioneering and Church Planting Officer. And he's going to help us celebrate Christ's resurrection and the promise fulfilled. We now come to the time in our service when we offer ourselves to God, our time, our talent, and our treasure. So I encourage you now to support your local congregation. Let us pray. God of glory, you have lifted Jesus up and told us that unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and takes on new life, it remains just a single grain. With grateful hearts, we offer you the fruit of our lives to bless and use in heartfelt ways. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We are going to finish today with number 354. Jesus is the name we honour. As we think about the ways that Jesus glorified you, we will glorify him, we will lift him high, we will give him honour and praise.
Jesus is the name we honor. Jesus.
will give him honor and praise. We will glorify, we will lift him high, we will give him honor and praise. Jesus is the name we worship. Jesus is the name we trust. He is the King above all other kings. Let all creation stand and sing that Jesus is our God. We will glorify, we will lift him high, we will give him honor and praise. We will glorify, we will lift him high, we will give him honor and praise. Jesus is the Father's splendor. Jesus is the Father's joy. He will return to reign in majesty, and every eye at last will see that Jesus is our God. We will glorify, we will lift him high, we will give him honor and praise. We will glorify, we will lift him high, we will give him honor and praise. We will give him honor and praise. We will give him honor and praise.
Go now to glorify God's name with God's love written on your hearts. And the blessing of God, who creates, redeems, and restores, be with you all, now and evermore. And all God's people say, Amen.